this time, I would like to study the koan of 79 case. In of a Blue Cliff record. title is Tō Tsūs, All Sounds. Tō Tsūs, All Sound. In Japanese we say Tōsu, Zen Master. In Chinese, T-O-U, Tō, Tsū, T-Z-U-S, T-Z-U, apostrophe free S, Tō Tsūs, All Sounds. Story is between the monks and Tō Tsū. A monk asked Tō Tsū, all sounds are the sounds of Buddha, right or wrong? Tō Tsū said, right. The monk said, teacher, doesn't your asshole make flirting sounds? Tō Tsū then hit him. Again, the monk asked, coarse words or subtle talk all returns to the primary meaning, right or wrong? Tō Tsū said, right. The monk says, can I call you an ass, teacher? Tō Tsū then hit him. This is a conversation between teacher and monk. I think this kind of questions, are made by us in our everyday life very often. We have lots of questions similar with this question, such as, why is it we have to practice Zazen if we are Buddha? Why we have to struggle for a living if we die without any exceptions? If you die, all are gone. Why do we have to struggle for living in this world? Even though you become a president of the United States, even though you become an enlightened person, even though you become a bodhisattva, Buddhist, whoever you are, sooner or later you have to die. Why we have to struggle for living in this world? Everyone has to go in the same place, same things happen. Why we have to suffer? Well, life is simple. We say life is simple. All you have to do is that you just live in this world as the truth to live is to live. This is a simplicity, simple life. If so, why not? To live simply. But we cannot live simply. There are lots of discussions. Bringing up a certain subject, the project, and all this discussing, the more you discuss about some questions, some problems, the more we are confused and bogged down with the questions and answers. Finally, we don't know what to do. Why we have to? We have to discuss about human life. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? Just do it. But we cannot do it. there are lots of questions coming up. If you're American, why are you? Are you seeking for the different cultures called Buddhism? Why don't you become just American? You know, why don't you believe in Christianity? Why are you seeking for the different things by what you suffer a lot? There are lots of questions coming up. Those questions are, anyway, manifested in this koan as a one case. Everything is Buddha. Sounds or any kind of sounds are just a Buddha sound. In the Vimala Kirti, I think Buddha mentions, Buddha teaches us the truth with a one single sound, voice. If so, any kind of sounds are Buddha? Well, Totsu said yes. And the teacher said that, and the monk said, teacher, doesn't your asshole make flirting sounds? This sound is also Buddha? Then Totsu hit him. Because you can't mix it up anyway. The sound of fart is sound of fart, which is different from the sound of the voice, which the Buddha makes in order to teach the truth. It is a different sound. So sound, the same sound, the same and one sound is existent within a different aspect of the sounds. You cannot find the equality or peace in the equality, no. You have to find the equality in the differentiations. Because you are seeking for the equality, why are you seeking for equality? Because you already accept differentiations. So you live already in the differentiations. So you have to find the equality in the world of differentiation. This is true. So you cannot mix up. Again, the monk asked coarse words and subtle talk. They all returns to primary meaning, right or wrong. Totsu said, right? The monk said, can I call you an ass, teacher? Totsu hit him. Because also, coarse word, subtle word, kind word, violent word, words are different. But differentiation should be found in the world of peace and harmony and equality. Otherwise, you don't know how to take care of a differentiated world. If you don't find the differentiated world, out of the equality, out of the peace, human life becomes always confused. So this is a simple explanation, okay, I mentioned. Before that, I would like to go deeply more, but anyway, just the surface, I explain it. Okay. Before I want to go deeply into this story, I would like to say about Totsu's Zen teacher. Totsu lived from the 845 to 914, and he died at the age of 69. He was one of the outstanding Zen teachers, which was pretty similar with Joshu Chao Cho, which was pre-noticed for great Zen teacher in China. It is said that Chao Cho lived until 120 years old. He was pretty old, and also it is said that he became a monk at the age of 60. And then he started to practice Zazen, Zen Buddhism, and became abbot of a temple at the age of 80 or so. Until 80, he took travels in China to study and practice Zen meditation. And then he lived until 120 years. Totsu was, between Totsu and Chao Cho, there was 67 different age, 67 years different. And then one day Totsu met this Chao Cho Zen master, and they discussed about Zen teaching. That conversation occurs in the case 41 of a Blue Cliff Record. Discussion is also very interesting. Chao Cho at case 41. The Chao Cho asked Totsu, how is it when the man who has died the great death returns to life? That is a technical, not technical. This is the expression Zen Buddhism uses very often. If you really make your life alive, you have to die anyway. Die means you have to go through the deeply the self as it is, without leaving any trace of self-consciousness. You have to exactly devote yourself fully into yourself and object. In other words, you have to put yourself not in the small scale of the world, but in the universal scale of the world. Before you think of yourself according to your telescope, you must be seen from the universal telescope. That's pretty hard. In order to do this, you have to throw away yourself. You have to offer yourself to the mountain. If you want to climb the mountain, you have to offer completely yourself and to the mountains. Then you can climb. At that time, there is no self-consciousness. Self-consciousness is there, but it doesn't bother you. So it says no self-consciousness. Well, the other day I told you about the flow experience, you know, according to the American psychologist mentions about. So flow experience means no self-consciousness there, but you are exactly one with rock or mountain or a football game, and you really, your life is going just in fluidity, like water. But on the other end, you have to go through lots of complicated procedure of how to deal with rock mountains and usual mountains and football. How to take care of, how to go through complicated procedure. Without complicated procedure, you cannot manifest yourself as you really are, and you cannot manifest, you cannot have any opportunity to see your object as it is. So very naturally, you have to practice this one. So that is, we say, we have to die. Okay? We have to die. When you die, then life re-alive. Exactly alive again. So that is Chao Cho asked To Tzu, how is it when the man who has died, the great death, returns to life? To Tzu said, he must not go by night. He must get there in daylight. You know, he must not go by night. Night means truth. Truth is something abstract. Truth is mysterious. All truth is kind of inspiration, which is wondrous, which is inconceivable. Well, briefly speaking, it's mysterious. Pretty mysterious. So pretty abstract. We don't know what it is. We cannot get it. But plainly speaking, we say truth. Truth is what? We don't know what it is. So in Zen Buddhism, truth is expressed as night, dark, because you cannot see it, what it really is. So, he says he must not go by night. If you have really aliveness of your life, and that time you mustn't be allowed to go by night, at night. Means most of people, it means that most of people love so much being with mysticism or spiritual excitement. We don't know what it is. But individually, we can experience something fantastic, which people don't understand what you experience. We cannot also individually explain about it, what it is. It's very difficult. And also people doesn't know. People don't know what your experience is. The more you explain it, the more people don't believe you. For instance, through the Zen, you see the world which is bright, shining all over. Everything is peaceful. How can you explain it? The more you explain to the people who have never experienced it, doesn't trust you, doesn't believe you. Because they cannot see the world which is shining constantly. Which is peaceful. They don't believe it. But individually, you can experience it. So finally, we always, give up talking about this fantastic, peaceful inside. We say inside, okay? Because pretty individual, pretty personal. So we say we give up talking about this and share it with the peoples because people don't understand. So we just stay with inside, peaceful inside. That is also the Buddha Shakyamuni experienced under the Bodhi tree after enlightenment. he suffered from that experience, thinking always whether he should live and share his life with all sentient beings, or he should just stay with this peaceful inside instead of sharing it with all sentient beings. But finally, Shakyamuni Buddha decided to leave that his place and shared his life with all sentient beings. So, I think usually we love so much. We love so much and we want to hold that individual peaceful insight, which we don't want anybody to interrupt, to touch. So, always we try to hold it. This is, in a sense, pretty good, so-called faith. But in a sense, it's pretty bad, because it's very dangerous. Not bad, it's very dangerous, because it is very strong attachment to particular individual spiritual life experience. There is no openness there. It's very rigid, stubborn. Religious stubbornness is very dangerous. So look at the human world. You know, the island, do you know the story now? What they are doing now? Between the Catholic and the Protestant, fighting each other. Building up a big partitions between, you know, and they're fighting and killing each other. What do you mean? Why we have to believe religions? Why we have to practice religions? But it happens always. Because they're always attached to their own individual experience. How Catholic is wonderful. How Protestant is wonderful. Always attached. If you attach it, you will naturally create prejudice. So you never be open. So you cannot see the world and you in a universal perspective. This is a cause of human suffering. It's really human suffering. Whatever kind of a circle you live, you know, economy and philosophy, psychology, physics and religions, whatever kind of the world you live, always there is this kind of a problem there. That's why that is called go by night. Okay? We want to go by night. If you attain enlightenment, if you feel inside peace, peaceful inside, you really want to go by night. You don't want, because people don't understand it. But that is, it's not real freedom, real way to live in freedom. That's why he says he mustn't go by night. He must get there in daylight. Daylight is phenomenal world. What you can see very naturally. Trees is a tree. Human beings is human being. Catholic is Catholic. Protestant is Protestant. You can't mix up. Anyway, there are many different differentiated world exist. So, if you realize full aliveness of your life, at that time you never be allowed to go by night, but you have to get there daylight. Means you have to live. You have to go back to human life once more again, your end, be rooted deeply in the everyday life, and then become human, then live, demonstrate yourself,
as a true person, fully aliveness of human life there. It's not mysterious, completely no mysterious. It's very usual human beings. But there is just something different. That is this, the Totsu mentions. From that Totsu mentioned this story, a little bit in this story was explained a little more in detail. In the page 446, the Blue Cliff Record Volume 2. That story, the following story leads up to the dialogue between Chao Cho and Totsu. That makes the main case 41. Okay. One day, Master Shen of Chao Cho came to a nearby district. Totsu, too, had come down from the mountain that day. They encountered each other on the road without recognizing each other. Chao Cho privately asked a lay gentleman and found out it was Totsu. Then he turned back to go after him. He asked, "Aren't you the master of the Mount Totsu?" Totsu said, "I beg you for a coin for the tea and salt tax." I don't know what it is. Anyway, let me go, Father. Chao Cho then went up onto Mount Totsu first and sat there in his hut, waiting for Totsu to return. Later, Totsu returned to his hermitage, bringing along a jar of oil. Chao Cho said, "I've long heard of Totsu. But now that I've come here, I just see an old selling oil. Old man selling oil." Totsu said, "You just see an old man selling oil, but you don't know Totsu." The Chao Cho said, "What is a Totsu?" Totsu said, "Oily oil." Oily oil. Is that, do you understand? Oh, just like another story is the Yakusan Zen Master was pretty known well in those days. So emperor wanted to see him practically, so he visited the Yakusan Zen Master's temple. And then Yakusan Zen Master studied and by the table, and the emperor knocked the door and get inside, but the Yakusan didn't turn back to him, just reading the Buddhist scripture on the lectern. So, and then the emperor went inside of the temple and saw the Yakusan Zen Master from the side. And then he murmured by himself. You know, they did kind of like this. And I've heard for many years about how famous the Yakusan Zen Master was. But now I have seen him right now, but he was not an unusual person. He is a pretty usual guy. So he murmured by himself. He talked to himself. And then he started to leave. And then Yakusan called him from the back, you know, emperor. He said, yes, sir. He turned back, and then Yaksan says, you really value your eyes, but you don't value your ear. Do you understand? You see with your eyes, naked eye, but you don't see me with your ear. Means you just see with your eyes and judge, evaluate. That is one way. But there are many ways, through your ears, through your nose, through your mouth, through your skin, through your myriad cells and myriad pores, you know. In other words, you have to see the person from the many angles. You cannot judge person simply, no. Then he taught that. He told him in that way. But same stories here. Okay. Cao Chou saw the Tao Zu, old man, as an old man selling oil. So he saw him. But Tao Zu said, "You don't see me actually. Who he really?" Is. So that's why Cao Chou said, who are you? He says, oily oil. Means the real person as a Tao Tzu is not something different from selling oil. Oil itself. So that's why he said oily oil. So, in other words, just like a rock climber, I mentioned very often, rock climber, when you climb the rock mountains, you are not you, you are rock mountain. Exactly. But if you see that rock climber, you can see the old man or young man climbing the rock mountains. But you don't see the rock climber as he really truly is. Who he is. He is rocky rock mountain. You can say so because that rock climber is not person. Because he is exactly a rock. Otherwise, he cannot climb the mountains, the rock mountains, because separate. If you create a gap between the rock and rock mountain and you, through what you can create lots of fears and anxieties. But if you really want to climb the mountains, anyway, you have to climb the mountain in peace and harmony as best as you can. This is our practice, so always we have to do this. And also this is a point we are seeking for it. Whatever happens, whatever you do. So who is Tao Tzu? Tao Tzu is oily oil. So Tao Tzu is not Tao Tzu, but Tao Tzu is not oil itself. But Tao Tzu is oil. Oil is Tao Tzu. Tao Tzu and oil, anyway, working together, that is a what? Just to sell. Just to sell. Within the flow activity of selling, there is a oily oil there. Which includes both Tao Tzu as a man and also matter as an oil. So you cannot put the name on it. Exactly something there. There is a something there, but that is just flow activity. In peace, in harmony. When you put the name on it, you stumble over. Just like getting the car which is running, okay?
you try to jump in, okay, car, something moving, okay, and then you try to jump in. The moment when you touch the car, you fall down. After that, you become one with the speed of time, and then nothing happens. But the moment when you touch it, but that touch moment when you touch, still there is a separation there, gap there. There is no peaceful balance there between speed of time and you. So very naturally, you stumble over. After stumble over, then you can be. You can keep your life balanced. This is experience. So separation is always something, something stumble, something that they occurs. Okay. So he says, "Oily oil." Chao Cho said, "How is it when gaining life, I miss death?" This is the same stories. How is it when a man who died the great death returns to life? Taozi said, one must not go by night. One must get there by daylight. Then the Taozi said, I am a swindler, yet you swindled me. Well, then I think then through the conversation between the Zen teacher and monks, kind of a swindler. You know, thoughts, you don't understand what's going on there. So in a sense, Zen teacher is called sometimes swindler, tricky, very tricky guy. But it's not the bad sense. It's very great sense. Holding, grasping, understanding in the universe perspective. And 100 in right there, right now. So he says, I am, because Joshu Chao Cho was pretty well known those days. If you read this book of the Chao Cho's stories, come up. But his discussion answers is very fluently, smoothly going. So, but that's why he says, I am a swindler, but you swindled me. So completely, I am beaten by you. So, this is Totsu's Zen teachers. So Totsu was great teacher whom the Chao Cho really respected deeply. I think through this conversation you can see how great Chao Cho was. Okay. Do you have some questions so far? Anything is fine.
What is that? Could you explain again what meant by go by night?
Is there anyone who wants to say about this? What does it mean?
Hmm?
Marilyn's question is the meaning of not go by night.
How about similar to dual mirror awareness, where it says practice secretly looking within?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just that go by night is similar to that.
Secretly means, that's why I mentioned the personal experience is a very secret, okay? Because you touch it, you touch the truth as it is. And so, it's secret, it's wonderful, it's holy. It's very difficult to say about it, because it's very personal, okay? From this point, it is a secret. But he says, not go by night. Do you understand meaning of the night? Mm-hmm. Okay. So not go by night means that you cannot keep it. You cannot keep it. You cannot stay with secret always. No. You have to manifest the secret. Secret where? In everydayness. There are with a secret because it is wonderful. That's why I say most of people try to keep that secret and stay with it without without being interrupted by anyone. Is that clear? Do you understand that one? Not only your experience, but also look at the people who really want to practice spiritual life. Not only the Christianity, Buddhist priest or Buddhist layman, of whatever kind of religion you believe. Look at the human world. Most of people try to keep and stay with a secret. Is that clear? But he says not go by night means you cannot stay with secret. So one way is anyone can discover secret after analyzing, synthesizing everyday life, human life, seeking for the truth. Then you can find secret. Okay? But second point is important. Okay? The second point is you have to build up everyday life in the secret, in the world of secret. But usually we build up a secret in the world of everydayness. Do you understand? Is that clear? Do you understand the difference? This, if you don't understand this different point between you always don't understand the most important key point of a spiritual life, which is alive in everyday life, helping others, helping all sentient beings. You are seeking so-called peace. You don't understand it. So you have to know there's two points. One is everyone can experience the truth after practicing many years and analyzing, synthesizing, going deeply into the human world. Then you can discover the truth. Okay, that means you can build up You can build up the truth in the everyday life. Okay? This is a very general. But most of people don't know how to build up everydayness in the world of secretness, secret truth. In other words, completely reversed. We build up by everydayness, we build up a truth in the human world, but second point is it reversed. Truth is built up in the world of everydayness. Okay? Is that clear? This is a different point. That's why the other day, last Saturday, I mentioned that the articles about the flow experience. It is wonderful. Wonderful thesis and the point that the American people can reach. So after analyzing, synthesizing, and collecting lots of data from the famous person's activities and the professional person's many things, and then he found how important flow experience is, because it is a main point of how we should build up human culture. So it's very important. But still there is something missing, because we don't know how to build up in the realm of flow experience. That is most important. How to build up everyday life in the flow of flow experience. Okay? In order to do this, you must be open. You must put yourself in the universal world first. But we don't do it. Always we put ourselves in the small world, so-called I. So-called Americans, always. So that is, it is alright, but it is still narrow understanding. So that's why the Totsu mentions you shouldn't be allowed to go by night. You should be allowed to go by daylight. Okay? Daylight means you have to build up everyday life in the truth, in the universe, whole universe. But most people don't know how to. That's why we have to practice like this. Okay? Is that clear?
What was the original question by Chao Cho? After the great death, how does a man, what is that question?
Question is, how is it that a man who died the great death returns to life? In other words, in a concrete way, if you really devote yourself to do something fully, okay, without leaving your self-consciousness, at that time, you really alive. Means you return to life, exactly. But there is no self-consciousness. Just like a driving in safety. If you drive in safety, at that time, there is no self-consciousness. You know, there is no the idea of traffic rules and no sense of the other cars around you. You just live, you just be one with the car. Devote yourself to the car. That time, no self-consciousness, no perception of the traffic rules, but they are always with you. Because if something happens, you can control the situation, control the car. So, that means no self-consciousness, no perception of the rules and regulations, but there is. There is a fully aliveness of the life there. That means to return to life. When you die, then you can return to life. Okay? So, Zazen is simply this practice. You have to really die in Zazen exactly. So, Zazen is exactly climbing the rock mountains and the skiing and the, playing the, cross-country skiing with wholeheartedness and running and jogging and with wholeheartedness, same things. So sitting is very simple practice without using any particular object, so go ski or football or anything, rock mountains, etc. Nothing. All you can do is to use your just the body and mind, breath. That's it. That's why it's pretty hard. And also, we have to deal with the spiritual world, not particular world, so called mountain or sport. No. The spiritual world includes sports, mountains, natures, and arts, cultures, all life and death, past, present, future, all include. Then you have to deal with all stuff. That is Chikantaro. That's why it's pretty hard in a sense. But the meaning of Zazen Chikantaro you do is exactly like that. Okay?
I couldn't follow your explanation completely. Did you say use Zazen as an example and then show the two attitudes and the two styles that you're talking about? I forget your language, but the building up, going toward the truth in daily life. Or that's one attitude, the other attitude is within the truth going for daily life. Could you explain two kinds of Zazen based on each? Do you understand? I want a concrete example of the two different worlds you're talking about.
Well, I think the first one, if you deal with the Zazen practice in terms of first point, you always try to see the Zazen objectively, okay? As the object of your research, just like a scientist, right? Is that clear?
No. Seems to me, if you're trying to experience night, then you're trying to throw away that.
No, I mean that you want to know concrete way in terms of the 2 point, okay? First point is what? They build up the truth or enlightenment in the world of everydayness. Means researching, understanding, analyzing, going deeply into the everyday life, and then you can build up something, okay? That is the first point. So if you, in terms of first point, you always see the Zazen objectively, researching the meaning of Zazen and going deeply into the everyday life. And you yourself, with Zazen itself, and then you can see, oh, this is Zazen, like this. Something more than you understand, or people understand, or not. It's something there. So in a vague, in individual, people understand, experience in a different way. But generally, I can say, you can build up something mysterious, something truth, whatever you say. Enlightenment, the after researching, discovering, and going deeply into Zazen and you and the everyday life. Okay? That is the first point. So this is we do, in a sense. And then if you reach, if you have built the something mysterious, okay, in through practice of Zazen, so-called everyday life, okay? And then the people want to keep this enlightenment. At that time, you really become arrogant because I have something secret you don't know. So if you explain how wonderful, you know, my experience is, people don't understand you at that time, how stupid you are. You can easily put down the people anyway. So very naturally there is a conflict there between the people, between the world, between the object, you. That is always happens in the human world. In a big scale, it is called war. Individually, we're always fighting or killing each other. This is an event, this is happens, something happens in Ireland. Now, or Lebanon, Middle East, always happens there. So, I think next, second point is, you have to build up everydayness in the world of that something mysterious. It's not, in other words, in the universal, in the universe, in the truth. You have to build up. Okay? In a concrete way, it means, the second point is, you shouldn't see yourself in terms of you. First point is always you see something from you, always. This way. Always I see, I understand, I know. It's always I comes first. But the second point is no eyes. You put yourself in the universal situation, so you are seeing from the universe. So universe, that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned, to forget the self is to be confirmed by all sentient beings. To be confirmed by all beings is to detach off body and mind. Oneself and body and mind of others too. So very naturally, if you put yourself in the realm, big scale of the mountains, including skies, and it's instead of seeing the mountain in terms of our understanding, okay? That is what? That is really flow activities. Constantly you offer yourself into that big scale of the world. Offer. Constantly. And then, mountain speaks to you someday. Even though you don't hear, but mountains constantly speaks to you. Okay? That is the second point. Is that clear?
I don't understand the first point.
Huh? You don't understand?
When you describe it, the second point is maybe what I thought you meant by the first point. It seems to me you have some experience of the truth, then you can become arrogant afterwards, but at the time to have that experience, then there's no lie there.
Sure.
So I don't understand, but that's what you're saying is the first point. So I'm having trouble.
No arrogance. Experience itself is no arrogance. But that's why he mentioned, if you really experience the truth as it is, truth must be alive in your everyday life. This is an important point. In order to make it alive in your everyday life, you cannot stay with your own individual experience. If you stay with it, naturally arrogance come up because you stay with it. So you have to let it go. Means you have to make it alive in your everyday life. In other words, you have to return to everydayness. Then it's something happens. It's alive. That is, in a different way, flow experience, flow activities, it's we can say, just to keep going, constantly keep going, taking care of everydayness, whatever you feel. Okay? That is, I mentioned first and second. Is that okay?
One time I was teaching at a kind of a second grade college in New York State, and I was sort of walking around the campus a lot, thinking, well, I knew a lot about Buddhism and everyone else was so ignorant. And so I felt that kind of arrogance and superiority in a subtle sort of way. And I just kept it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I was walking down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden I had this strange feeling that everyone there was a bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they knew anything about Buddhism or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very frightening because it kind of stripped away any reason that I had for feeling arrogant or any reason that I had for feeling superior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sort of said that all the study I'd made of Buddhism or whatever, you know, it wasn't really worth anything because everyone was already a bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very frightening.
Not sure.
Is that the kind of difference between the two worlds that you're speaking of?
Yes, yes. If you experience enlightenment, if you go deeply into everyday life, you see the human life in a broad scale. Okay, that time, seeing not only your life but also seeing others' life in equality, and then you become you see the people's becoming a bodhisattva. Everyone. Trees, birds, and then at that time, immediately you feel your arrogance lost. Okay? So nothing to depend on because equality. But in a sense, it's something deep. So it's comfortable in a sense. It's deeply you feel wonderful. But apparently, you feel something fear because nothing to depend on. So that is so called something mysterious or secret, you know, in a deep sense. So you don't know, even though you don't know what it is, very naturally you want to start to research and know what it is, something secret, you know, about something secret. So you want to keep it in many ways. Because apparently, some fear is coming up, you know. Is that clear? Oh, what is the question?
I didn't understand what you meant about keeping it secret. I mean, when you all of a sudden sort of lose all that knowledge and wisdom. And
yes, if you experience that one on the other end, in the deep sense, you have something deep you have experienced. Okay?
Yeah.
Because everything is bodhisattva.
Yeah.
But you don't realize it. But even though you don't realize it, there is something deep. Secret what you have experienced.
But you can't see it all the time.
No, you cannot see it. But you can feel something. Because if the moment when you see others are nothing but the bodhisattva.
Yeah. Then if you feel, if you keep that secret and mysterious, if you make that something secret and mysterious, then that then becomes the basis for feeling superior again.
Yeah, superior. It's become, that's why it's dangerous.
Yeah.
In a good sense, it's very good because it supports yourself as a faith. It is a kind of faith.
Uh-huh.
Very personal faith. So it helps you very much. But on the other end, it's dangerous. Because you are attached to it. So real faith is what? Real faith is what? You have to leave. You shouldn't stay with a faith, you know. So you have to leave a trace of faith. then it's really alive.
Just let go of faith?
Yes. Not ignoring. It's already here. Faith is here, you know, with you. So you just let it go. Let it go means you shouldn't stay with it or attach to it, and you shouldn't see it in terms of your personal understanding or experience. Any other?
Going by night is considered like creating gaps. You go by night. Making gaps.
Gaps in between.
Like hesitations and between other people. And
yes, two gap, yes. A subtle gap there. In a sense, there is equality there. But that equality is not really equal, because that is nothing but the perception of equality. You have experienced, you have perceived. So still there is a concept there, conceptualized. Equality is nothing but conceptualized. So that's why that is a gap, very subtle gap.
When you're talking about letting go of faith, can you talk a little bit about what do you mean when you use the word letting go or let go?
The faith is very universal. Universal. It's yours, but it's not yours. It is not something they hold and held and kept and they taken hold firmly by you, okay, personally. In order to see the universal, in order to see the true meaning of the faith in terms of universal perspective, at that time you should experience faith personally, and then that faith becomes personal. Personal. Do you understand? For instance, food is, this is, here is a book. But this book is Blue Cliff Record. If I say Blue Cliff Record, this is everyone's. This is open to everyone. It's not only me, mine. But if I say this is my book, at that time, this is a personal book. Okay? So very naturally, I want to keep it.
But you yourself are included in everything. Is that correct also?
Huh? Including?
You yourself, okay, who either is the book or has had the experience of the faith.
Yes, yes.
You are also part of the everything.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. But the leaving the trace of the face means still there is the subtle attachment to the perception or individual experience of faith. The subtle attachment there. Subtle attachment disturbs you so much, interrupts you so much. When you try to make it alive in your everyday life. In other words, faith should be something which makes your life really fully alive, smoothly, and helping others, helping your life. But if there is even a subtle attachment to the personal experience of faith, your life is stuck there.
Is what?
Stuck.
Yeah.
Stuck in your own territory. Then you become blind. That is the best term. Then you don't see the people equally. Okay? For instance, this book is mine. I say mine. But in a sense, I have to let it go. Means this is a universal. So everyone. So someone says, oh, that book is pretty nice. So I can say, if you want, I can give it to you. Something like that.
So then you would be doing things like trying to help people because you had a concept of yourself as somebody who helps somebody, or trying to manifest your faith by helping other people, but because it was your experience, there would be this distance between yourself and the other person.
Yes. Yeah, if you try to help, helping others is very good for us, because if you try to help somebody, whatever in whatever way, okay, in terms of your ideas, your concept, your experience, it doesn't matter. If you try to help somebody, very naturally through the help, you can see what true meaning of help is. So true meaning of help is completely not personal help, which you individually understand. So help itself is universal. So that's why if you try to help, sometimes your help doesn't work. So very naturally, you can reflect upon yourself what you have helped, or how you have helped people. Then next, you try to find a different way. So very naturally, help is refined through your experience. That's why every day we have to help. That's why Buddha mentions, take the people, others, over the across the river. You know, first.
Is it possible to explain acting beyond personal faith without being stuck in your own personal faith as you're explaining?
Yeah, in many ways it's possible. But sometimes it's impossible to explain it in the word only. But you can explain it in many ways, because you can explain it in a word sometimes, but even though you explain it in a word, through the word, people can see something true behind the word.
But at that time, aren't you referencing to your personal experience?
Yes, personal experience, and also not personal experience anyway. That means you have to demonstrate yourself with the mind, with the body, not only in a word. So from this, you can explain it with a silence, even though you don't say it. You can explain it with a silence. If you just sit down there, already your whole life, whole body and mind explains, start to speak about it. That's something secret. That it's a face, whatever you say. That's why people are really moved by. For instance, Gandhi, you know, the violent person, really moved by the Gandhi when he tried to kill him. But he couldn't kill him right in front of him. But the motivation was to kill him. But when he was right in front of him, he couldn't kill him. But he didn't do anything. Gandhi is just there.